Okay, so this recording is a long time in waiting, so I apologize about this. We're going to start from the bottom line of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Toshema, come in here. Haganav Shenotel Mizeh. The Ganav that took from this one, V'nosan Lezeh, and gave to this one. So a ganef is a thief as opposed to a robber. So a ganef would be somebody who steals in the secret of the night, not an open. And a gazlan is somebody who is more of an open robber. The person does it in public, as we'll see in a second. So here the Braisa first speaks about a ganef. The ganef shenotel that stole mizeh from this one, from A, v'nosan lezeh and gave it, gave the object lezeh to this one. V'chein gazlan, and similarly, a gazlan, a robber, shenotel mizeh, that stole from this one, v'nosan lezeh and gave to this one. He's taking from one person and giving it to another person. And then the next page, v'chein yardein, and similarly, the yardein, the Jordan River, but this can be any river, obviously. Shenotel mizeh, v'nosan lezeh, that took from this one, v'nosan lezeh, and gave to this one. So in all these three examples, the Braisa says, Masha notal notal, whatever that it took, u'masha nosan nosan, and what it gave. Meaning that now the chefetz, the object, is now the complete possession of the recipient. And we'll learn this when we get together. We'll discuss in detail how this works, because basically this is stolen property, and what is the basis of being able to keep stolen property? It's dependent upon the despair of the owners, and the Gemara is going to explain right now. Bishlama, which means it makes sense, coming from the word shalom, which means peace, but as an expression in the Gemara, it means it makes sense. It makes sense, gazlan, the case of the gazlan, the yardin and the river. In those two examples, it makes sense that the recipient can keep the object and consider it to be his. The kachazi lehu, that, now, this phrase means the kachazi lehu, that he saw them. The word chazi means to see, lehu means them, and the word deka, the key letter there is the dalet prefix, which means that. Ka does not have any translation. It's one of these words like in Hebrew, et, which precedes nouns, and the word et precedes a noun. So the word ka, I think typically, always precedes a verb. So this means the kahazi lehu, that he saw them. So in the cases of the robber, the gazlan, and the yardin, the river, it makes sense that the recipient can keep them because the nigzal, the one who was stolen from, or the one who lost the object from the river, he saw them going, he saw them disappear in front of his eyes, he saw the robber taking them, he saw the river taking the objects. U'miyayesh, and he despairs. So if he despairs, so then the recipient can keep the object. Eleganov, but the ganov, in the case of the thief, mi kechazile. Mi means a question. It's in Hebrew it means who, but in Aramaic it always precedes a question, or it's a indication of a question. It's like a question mark, but appears at the beginning of the sentence. Mi kechazile. Does he see it? And the word ka is there again. Mi kachazi. Does he see lay it? Does he see it being taken? To miyayesh, that he's despairing. It was a ganef, does it at night. He steals at night, so the owner doesn't realize it was stolen. And yet the Braisa is saying that the recipient can keep that which was stolen by the ganef. But how can that make sense? The thief does it secretly, and the owner doesn't realize it was taken. So he has not had a chance yet to be miyayish. And let's say that the object has now been deposited into someone else's hand before the owner's miyayish. So this sounds like it's a proof for Rava, the yeyosh lemadas is have a yeyosh. Because we know, we can assume that the owner will eventually be miyayish, because now he knows he was robbed, he was broken into, he was stolen from, and then he'll be miyayish, and then the recipient can take advantage of that future yeyosh and keep the object. Sarai for Rava. The more answers, no. Tirgama Rapapa. The word Tirgama means to translate, literally. Targum is a translation. Targum unculus. But in context, it means to explain. So Tirgama Rapapa. Rapapa explains that the Bryce is talking about Ballistim Mezuyan. The case of Ganov is a case of what's called Listim Mezuyan. Listim Mezuyan are armed robbers. I don't know what the derivation of the words are, but Listim Mezuyan, Mezuyan or Mezuyin, armed robbers. Base prefix means with, in honor or with. So Tirgum Rapapa. Rapapa says that the Brace is talking about, or the case of the Ganav is Belistim with regard to Listim Mezuyan, armed robbers. Rashi says, we'll look at this quick, short Rashi over here, the second line from the top, Listim Mezuyan, Rashi says, Ubechazoka notla himenu, and with force he took it from him. Umiikara, and from the outset, Yoda, he knew, the owner knew, Umiyayesh, and then he despairs in getting it back. So, even the case of the Ganav is an example of one who does it openly, to allow the owner to be miyayish from it. And therefore, it wouldn't be a raya for Rava. In other words, Rav Papa is actually explaining the Braisa differently in defense of Abaye, who holds Yesh Lemadas is Lohavi Yesh. It could be talking about a case of Listen Mezuyan. In other words, the word Ganov, which we said originally meant a secret robber, a secret thief, has a second definition, or can also be used with reference to Listen Mezuyan, armed robbers, who actually do it openly. But the obvious question is he Hochi? If so, Hainu Gazlan. It is Gazlan. It's the same thing as Gazlan. Isn't Listen Mezuyan, armed robbers, the same thing as a Gazlan? We said before that a Gazlan is a robber who does it openly. So isn't that's what Listen Mezuyan are? They're doing it openly. Armed robbers, they're doing it openly. To which the Gemara says, I went back through it quickly, Ihochi means if so, Hainu, it is, or that is. Hainu, it's the same thing as Gazlan. The Gemara answers, no. Trei Gavne Gazlan. Two types of Gazlan. There are two types of Gazlan. There are Gazlonim, who do it openly. They just run over to a person, they grab the person's purse, or whatever they're holding. And then there are armed robbers. People who rob at gunpoint. What is the difference? Why does the Braisa have to speak on two cases of robbers? I don't know. And I didn't look over here at the Mefarshim yet, so we'll take a look at that when we get together. Okay, but that's at least in defense of Abaye, this Braisa could be understood slightly differently. In other words, it's not beyond reasonability to say that the word Ganav can mean Listen Mezuyan. And as a side point, it's important to realize whenever the Gemara tries to bring proofs from Bryce's Mishnahs or Toseftas, and there is an opponent or disputant who has to defend himself against that proof, it's sufficient to have a way to explain the Mishnah, Bryce, or Tosefta in accordance with his position. It doesn't have to be proof positive that that's what the Bryce is speaking about. As long as one can defend oneself against the proof by explaining the Bryce in some fashion which is legitimate, then that's enough to uphold one's position. which, you know, makes sense in the context of logic. If I have a logical position, then that logical position stands until you disprove it categorically. You know, to disprove it by saying, well, so and so said this, and I can defend myself by saying, well, he could have meant this. It's not guaranteed, or it's not absolute that he meant that, but he could have meant that. And if he could have meant that, then there's no disproof to what I'm saying. And that's what we're doing over here. So even though it's true that the word ganov typically means a thief who steals in secret without anyone knowing, that's the typical definition. The fact that ganov can sometimes, even very infrequently, mean list of mezuyun, that's armed robbers, that's sufficient to that's sufficient evidence for Abaye to defend himself. Here's Rav Papa defending Abaye. Okay, continues the Gemara, to quote yet another proof. Toshima, come in here. Shotaf nar korav eitzav vavonav. A river washed away. Shotaf means to wash away. It washed away korav, his beams. Korot are beams. Korov means his beams of his house. Eitzav, his wood. Vavonov and his stones. So his house really got a beating. Venosnu betoch sodo chavero. And it put it. Venosnu. The it is a bit troubling to me over here. The word nosnu could either mean nosnu, they placed or they put, or nosno, it put it. So I don't know what the right one is over here, because we're talking about a river, which is singular, which would make the word nosno as it put, but then the o is it, a singular item, and yet we just spoke about wood, beams, and stones, which is plural, so a little bit confused about that. Okay, but it's not a major point. We'll just say nosno, and it put it. So the river deposited it, one of the items over here, or all the items, betoch sada chaver, inside sada, the field of chaver, of his friend. There was a storm, a hurricane, and the river destroyed a person's property and deposited the stuff in someone else's field. So the Braisa says, Hare Elu Shelo, behold, they are his, the recipient. And the reason is, the Braisa articulates, Bipnei, because Shinis Ya'ashu HaBa'alim, the owners have despaired. So I'm going to read the Rashi over here. It is the third line down. Hare Elu Shelo, behold, they are his. Hochi Garasinon, the Hey Gimel is Hochi Garasinon. By the way, as I read these Rashis, don't worry about translating them, because it's enough for you, you know, to work on the heat on the Gemara. I'm just reading this in order to help me as I'm reading this myself, and also to make it clearer as well to you. So the Hey Gimel is Hochi Garasinon. This is the Girsa. The word Girsa means textual version. Sometimes there are, you've seen before that there are slight variations in the text of the Gemara, a letter, a word here and there. So Rashi is saying that the Girsa, the proper Girsa, the proper textual version of the Gemara here, apparently he had some other version in front of him, but he's saying that this is the proper version to read. Hare Elu Shelo, behold, they are his, Mipnei Shenis Yashu HaBa'alim, because the owners have despaired. So that implies that there were some additions of the Gemara where perhaps the words Mipnei Shenis Yashu HaBa'alim were not there. And he's telling us that they should be there. Okay, so continues Rashi. To call Shtifas Nahar, that any or that all washing away of a river, when there's a washing away, when there's a storm, when there's a river which washes away a person's property, kikoros, eitzim v'avodim, his beams, his wood, and his stones. Now, there's a kaf prefix before the word koros, which I don't understand what it means. Kaf means like or as. So I don't know how that fits into this sentence. I'll read it again. To call shtifas nahar, that all washings away of a river, like or as, beams, wood, and stones. I don't know how it fits in. In any event, Rashi continues, Haba'alim yedu ba. The owners know about it. The owners know about it. This is key over here. The owners know about it. Miyad, immediately. Why? Deyesh la kol. That there is to it a rumor, a call, a voice. Everyone knows about it. So the assumption here in this case is that the owners will right away realize what's happened. You're at work, there's a storm, the news travels very quickly, and you'll know right away that your house has been destroyed and that your beams and your wood, etc., have been washed away. So you'll be miyash right away. That's the assumption, that you'll be miyash right away because you know about it right away. That's the assumption of the Braisa. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara is medayik. The Gemara makes an inference from that assumption. Says the Gemara, Tama, the whole reason why the recipient can keep these objects is this denisyashu habalim, because the owners have despaired. That's the reason why the Braisa said that. The reason why you can keep it is because the owners have despaired, because they knew about it. The implication then is this. Stoma, in an ordinary situation, a regular situation, lo, you couldn't keep it. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, ha stoma, but in a regular situation. Ha means but, stoma, normal, regular, ordinary situation. Rashi says, ha, behold, im haisa aveda cheres, if it was another type of lost object, she'ein lanu lomar she'edu habalim, that there is not for us to say that the owners knew about it, lo hava shel ma'utza, it would not be of the finder, lo hava, it wouldn't be shell of ma'utza, the finder. So, I'll finish the Rashi off in a second. A regular situation where the owners don't know about it right away, the implication is you couldn't keep it. So then, Rashi concludes, Kashia or Koshia l'Rava. It's a difficulty for Rava. So now, for the first time, we're now seeing not a proof for Rava, but a difficulty for Rava, a challenge in Rava. Because here the Bryce is saying that the whole reason why you're allowed to keep these beams, etc., it's because the owners are miyash, because they knew about it right away, and they were miyash right away, implying that whether you don't know about it right away, you couldn't keep it. So it's a proof that yesh lemidas is lo hava yesh, a proof for abaye, a kasha on rava. The Gemara continues, or the Gemara answers, and says, no. Hocha b'may askinon. Here, with what are we dealing with? Here, with what are we dealing? Now, this is tricky. Normally, whenever we have that expression, hocha b'may askinon, what are we dealing with over here? It's typically a clarification of the Braisa itself. Here, though, it's not a clarification of the Braisa, but a clarification in defense of Rava, that is. In defense of Rava, it's a clarification of what inference we can make from the Braisa. So, hocha, here, b'may askinu, with what are we dealing with in this inference? Kashiyocho lahatzel, when he's able to save it. In other words, the Braisa is speaking about a situation where it's completely unsalvageable. He can't save it, and then, presumably, the owners are miyayish. Not like we said before, that we heard about him, that we assume he heard about it, and he's miyayish, and only then can you keep it. But no, the Braisa is speaking about a case. There was a storm, and we are allowed to assume, even without, we don't keep it because we assume that he heard about it. We keep it because there was a storm, and presumably he will be miyayish from it, because he can't save it. Implying, though, kashiyochel lahatzel, when he would be able to save it, kashiyochel, when he's able lahatzel to save the stuff, then you couldn't keep it. Because so then this is actually supporting, or this is, so this, you know, keeps Rava in good position, in good standing, that only in a situation where stuff can't be retrieved can you assume that the owners will be miyayish, and even if he doesn't yet know about it, because a yesh lemedas have a yesh, it's okay. But when he's able to save it, now Rashi says, look at Rashi now, when he's able to save it, and this means, and I'm not going to break this word down, but this means, and a similar, and similarly, let's say, and similarly, but mitzia cheres, with a different type of finding, dova shiesh by simon, an object which has a simon in it, the yochel litain simon, that he's able to provide a simon, velitol, and take it, modina ba, he admits about that, Rava admits regarding that, the chayov lahachze, that he's obligated to give it back. So an object which has a simon in it, then we don't say yesh lemedas, obviously. There's no yesh. We can't assume that only by an object which doesn't have a simon in it, where the owner will never be able to provide a simon to get it back, and it'll be miyashmit, you can assume that yesh right now. And that's what we're speaking about. That would be the inference of this brisa. The man asks, though, Ihochi, if so, aim a sefer. If so, I will quote the end of the brisa. Because if we're saying now, according to Rava, that the case of Shotaf Nar, the case of the brisa, is where the stuff can't be retrieved, and presumably the owners will be miyayesh. So that, and then the brisa continues and says, but if they're chasing after it, then you can't keep it. The problem is, we just said a second ago that Rava implies from the brisa, from the resha, from the beginning of the brisa, that where he's able to save it, he can't keep it. So the brisa asks, Ihochi, if so, aim a sefer. I'll quote the sefer. Im hayu abalim radfim, if the owners were chasing acharehem, after them, chayav lahachzir, one is obligated to return it. But it doesn't make sense, he says. Ibi yicholim lahatzel. If, even where they're able to save it, without necessarily chasing after it, you can't keep it, like Rava just explained, the inference to be. Ibi yicholim lahatzel, if they're able to save it, meaning that you can't keep it just by being able to, if the owners are able to save it. So my area, why does the end of the brisa choose? Why does the end of the brisa choose an example of maradfin, of chasing after the object? Why go so far? Because afilo, even ain maradfin, even if they're not chasing after the objects, nami also, we just said, also you're not allowed to keep it. So why go to an extreme? Only if he's chasing after it, you can't keep it. Can't keep it, even if he's not chasing after it. The man says, "Hocha b'maskina." And what are we doing with over here? B'yichon lahatzel al yedei hadchak, where he's able to save the objects al yedei hadchak, through difficulty. Dachak dochak means pressure, so al yedei means through pressure. He's able to save it with difficulty. That's what we're talking about, a case where he's able to save the stuff, but with difficulty. So now it depends. So Maradfin, if he's chasing after it, physically chasing after it, lo ayayish, then that's indication he's not miyayish. But ein Maradfin, but if he's not chasing after the chafotzim, the objects, ayushay miyayish, he will surely despair. That's the translation. I have to run to the shul right in this minute, so I didn't have a chance to really explain it, but that's the translation, and you can just work on that, and we'll get together soon. Thanks.